This is episode 167.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 167 of the RV Podcast. My name is Mike Wendland, and this is the RV Podcast, where we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's wonderful creation, meeting fun people, and traveling all across North America in our RV. Doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have. Some of us have camper vans. Some of us have big Class A's, Class C's, others pop-ups. Hey, we're all out there together. And that is what the RV Podcast is all about. Enjoy the RV lifestyle. So thanks for putting us in your ears this week. All right, it's time now for a lot of people to start making their RV travel plans for the next camping season. And if you're in that boat, you will want to listen especially to this week's interview of the week about a great resource for finding the perfect spot in public campgrounds. Now, whether it's a state, a state park maybe, or a state forest, or an out-of-the-way municipal spot, to outstanding boondocking campsites in national forest or other wilderness areas. Our guest this week, Ted Houghton, who you'll meet in a few minutes, has a resource that will truly help you find the ultimate camping spot in 2018. That's coming up in our interview of the week in this episode. Also this week, great RV tips, travel ideas, RV news, and of course your comments and questions. But first, my wife and lifelong traveling companion, my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Mike.
Boy, does the house smell good today.
It does.
We're getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I made some sweet potatoes. I didn't make them healthy. I made them bathed in sugar.
Well, that's the way they're supposed to make them.
We'll have
You're supposed to make them.
Small portion sizes.
Oh, come on. It's Thanksgiving. You're not going to do that to me on Thanksgiving, are you?
I'd like to.
Well,
I had to make them. It's kind of a tradition.
Oh, it's good. And what about your fruitcakes? Actually, everybody laughs about fruitcakes. I love your fruitcakes. They're really good.
I bought some candied fruit. I'm planning on making some.
All right. Well, hey, wherever you are, we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. The American Thanksgiving, of course, is being celebrated as this episode's being released on November 22nd. Tomorrow, the 23rd, Thursday, is Thanksgiving. And I know our friends in Canada, they celebrated theirs about a month ago, and we hope you guys had a great one there, too. Our plans, we're home in our Michigan Sticks and Bricks house, and we're here for all of about 3 more days after Thanksgiving, and then we hit the road.
Got to get in the Nutcracker before we head to Louisville.
Yeah, it's going to be a jam-packed week. We've got Thanksgiving, our daughter and her family, our two granddaughters, and Dan, our son-in-law.
Don't forget Charlie.
And Charlie.
The golden doodle.
The golden doodle. He'll be here to play with Beau, and we'll have a house full of fun. And, you know, Thanksgiving's all about family. Hope you guys, wherever you are enjoying it. I ask on a Facebook Live and a YouTube Live report I did earlier this week, how many people were going to be camping and fixing Thanksgiving in their RVs. And I was surprised how many are out there doing that.
It's possible.
There's people making turkeys in their RVs.
Why not?
Some have a turkey fryer, and they're going to put that on a picnic table in a campground and cook it.
That is what our youngest son is doing, Jeff. He's going to use a fryer.
I've never had that. I'd like to try that sometime. If you are looking for something to do this weekend and you don't want to go with all those crazy people on Black Friday and sales, I think this is really cool. Did you hear about this, Jennifer?
What?
There are a whole herd of states that are opening up their state parks for free camping in many places, free entry. I did a quick check. I found, some of the big ones: Indiana, Minnesota, Oregon, New York, Arizona, Washington, California, Missouri, Michigan, And in Arkansas, a bunch more. I found a link, and I'll put a link, the ones that we've heard about, in the show notes for this episode, which you'll find at roadtrekking.com/167. But isn't that a great idea? If get you from sitting in front of, you know, get work off that turkey, go to a park, get outside and enjoy it.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. I don't know how, if this is a, it's the first time I've noticed that. Maybe they've been doing this for a couple of years, but that is awesome. And again, if you want to go try that, I'll put a link to the state parks that we know are offering free admission or free camping or whatever. A lot of people sent emails or are making Facebook comments wanting to know how Bo's doing. It's been 1 week and a little few more days since we've had him home, and have we ruined his training? He's just spent 6 weeks in off-leash intensive training.
We haven't ruined him yet. He is a very good boy.
He is a good boy.
He is very obedient.
We gave him a good test last night. We had the community we live in has an annual thing where every store on the downtown Main Street, every store from the curb to the rooftop is bedecked in bright LED Christmas lights. And they turned them all on last night. I think they had about 3,000 people.
You ought to post a picture of that.
Yeah, I will. I guess I will. I'll do something on, either on Facebook or I'll pull it up. But about I'll try and put it in the show notes even if you all want to see what that looks like. It's Rochester, Michigan. If you can get there, it goes until, I think, New Year's. It's amazing. Every downtown store is bedecked in these bright LED lights. We had 30,000 people, they said, on the streets. So we decided that was a good test to see how Bo would handle all that confusion. And my goodness, he was like a different dog. He was on his leash, didn't pull, didn't tug. There were other kids.
Other dogs. Who were misbehaving.
Yeah. And he had a lot of temptation. He had a lot of temptation.
Oh, there were little kids with great big cookies. And, you know, little kids don't pay a lot of attention because they're little kids. But Bo was sniffing the air. I said that, Mike, keep an eye on him. We don't want him taking somebody's cookie.
I thought about it myself,
the right
to
height,
tell you the truth.
The right height, you know, wave that around in front of a dog.
Hey, Bo, fetch. Fetch me that cookie. Yeah, but he was so good. And then when they turned on the lights, you know, the crowd screams and yells. And you were smart. You were patting him, but he didn't freak out or anything. And he was just so good.
Well, I remember with our last dog, we were at a soccer game. And all of the girls, for some reason, got in a little huddle and they all screamed. And poor Ty, he didn't know what had happened, but he was ready.
He was ready to go play and take somebody down.
Yeah, he was ready to take somebody down.
Well, anyway, so there's hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. You enjoy your Black Friday. And I know some people enjoy shopping, and that's great. But many of you hopefully will take advantage of those free admission to state parks. We hit the road. We're going Saturday. We're going to the Nutcracker.
Downtown Detroit.
At the Opera House.
I haven't been to the Opera House yet, so I'm delighted that we're going.
Okay. I'm going too, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know. The Lions are playing football tomorrow on Thursday, but oh well. I'm not going to do that either. But the Nutcracker. Do I have to dress up for that?
Probably.
Oh, gee.
Probably more than what you'd like to wear.
Okay.
You can't wear your flannel jammy bottoms or anything or sweatpants.
No, I can't. All right, so we do that on Saturday night. And then Sunday, we take off for Louisville, Kentucky, and the big Recreation Vehicle Industry Association trade show. This is not open to the public, this show. I should really point this out. It is not open to the public. It's only open to those who are in the industry, dealers and manufacturers and vendors. It's where they pack the Kentucky Exposition Center there in Louisville. It's like 1.2 million square feet. And I think there are exhibits from all 30, more than 30 RV manufacturers, which is virtually every single model and floor plan on the market will be shown in Louisville, the 2018 models, plus the hottest accessories and products and services. They have 200 industry suppliers that will be there.
You know, the hard thing about this is everybody dresses up. They look really nice, and I want to wear comfy shoes.
Oh, man, we're going to have to walk so much. I'm carrying all that gear. I'm not wearing dress shoes.
Yeah, well, you know, women usually have to wear, you know, fashionable shoes, except
you
people
will look
know
great.
Me.
You will look great from
anybody
the ankles
who
up.
Knows me remembers my black
tennis
shoes that I wore everywhere.
Pretty obnoxious.
Pretty obnoxious, yeah.
Well, I'll try and not shoot with the video. I'll not try
Don't
and not
show
shoot
my
your
feet.
Shoes.
Okay.
All right. I won't do it. But it's not a, what we like about this show is it's not like a big RV show where the public's there. Not that we love the public, but you know how crowded they get? This one, they only have about 3,000 people who are in attendance. And they do a lot of, all the dealers meet with their manufacturers and all that stuff. And it's just, because it's not so crowded, you can really learn much more and see much more. So we're going to do that. And if you have something that you want us to check out, just send us an email, Mike or Jen, or Mike and Jen at roadtrekking.com. And we'll do our best to run it down. If you've heard something you want us to check out for you, let us know. Send us a question. Put it on the voicemail question. That'd even be better. And we will try and get an answer from, because everybody who's anybody in the industry is at that show. And we're looking forward to going. We're going to be there, Sunday night through Wednesday night anyway. I think
we're leaving Wednesday morning or sometime Wednesday.
And Bo, he's not going. We couldn't handle him with that thing. But he's going back to the trainer, and he's going to stay with her. You met the trainer on episode 166, Leah DiBella. And we saw Leah yesterday. She came and did a follow-up visit to see how good Bo was doing. That was interesting. Yeah. He saw her and he headed to the basement. He hid out. He didn't want to have to work. But he's going to stay with her for 3 or 4 days and get a little refreshment class. So
I guess the first 30 days, she said, are important, that you be consistent, follow through with
our
the training.
Son Scott told me that he and his siblings are taking bets to how long it'll be before we ruin Bo.
Oh, you can't ruin Bo.
No, he really is a good dog.
He was a good boy before he went. He just pulled on a leash and... he's never eaten off the table. He doesn't take food. He doesn't get into garbage. There's a lot of things. Naturally dogs. When somebody walks by with a dog, he barks and won't come. But we haven't had to test him with that yet.
He'll come now.
Boy,
I'm just
sure.
Call him and use that word and he's there. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Campers Inn. Campers Inn is the RVer's trusted resource. Has been for over 50 years now. They are the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership. They are in 19 locations across the country now. 19 locations. They just added a new store in Ocala, Florida. They've got new dealerships coming to Acworth, Georgia and Thornburg, Virginia in early 2018. Just growing like crazy. If you live by any of the Campers Inn, this is the time to go in because they are offering just incredible deals, rock bottom deals on 2017 motorhomes. This is the time of year, you know, they clean out the old inventory. 2017 motorhomes, fifth wheels, all of their locations, just great pricing. And they're going fast. So this is the time to take advantage of it. It's a great time to buy. Campers Inn is the home of the integrity pricing guarantee. And when you go to any one of their 19 stores, every quote you get for a new RV includes everything you need to know about freight, orientation, detailing. You'll never, ever at a Campers Inn be surprised by hidden upcharges and fees. And they sell motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheels from all of the industry's leading manufacturers. Tiffin, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River, lots of RVs of every type, and their own Campers Inn exclusives like the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruiser Embrace. They have award-winning RV sales and award-winning service as well. Check them out, campersinn.com.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
We received a great tip from a listener named Anne, who lives in Windsor, Ontario, and has a travel trailer. Anne emailed us two tips this week. The first tip has to do with wet towels and where to hang them. What Anne did was to purchase one of those tension bars that people use for closet organizers or even sometimes bathroom shower curtains. Anne set hers up across the back of the bathroom in the RV. She says she sets it about an inch from the wall and that it is perfect for hanging those wet towels. They dry perfectly, she says, and they're out of the way. The second tip involves something available in various places like Bed Bath & Beyond, Walmart, or even some of those dollar stores. What she did was buy sock dividers. They're normally used to keep socks neat in a drawer, but Anne uses them in her RV kitchen cabinets to keep drinking and wine glasses from falling over. Now, she says, everything arrives intact. Anne sent us some photos, and we'll share those in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/167. Thanks, Anne, for sharing those great tips. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you are satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful and premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and some special offers. Listen, Rad Power Bikes is where you need to go if you're looking for an e-bike, because they are a consumer direct electric bike company. They produce 4 unique models of electric bikes. And because they are a consumer direct brand, what that means is that you get a premium electric bike, but you don't have to pay that huge markup that's caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, Rad Power bikes are often priced at less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because that retail dealer markup chain is cut out. You deal directly with them. And on top of their already awesome prices, this Cyber Monday, which is coming up November 27th, Rad Power Bikes is making it even easier to get people riding. They have deals on all of their models of electric bikes, up to $300 off per model. And it's a one-day only sale. It's coming Cyber Monday. That's November 27th. 2017. I know you'll be listening to this event, you know, this podcast, you know, Lord willing, long, long after we finished recording it. But for those listening to it as it comes out, November 27th, 2017, that's the day, one day only, up to $300 off per model on Cyber Monday. And it also includes free shipping on all their electric bikes to the lower 48 states. At 750 watts of power, all 4 models have the most powerful motor an e-bike can have while maintaining a street legal status. That means no license is required for it. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bicycle. All 4 models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle or utilize 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or combine the two. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. So mark it down, radpowerbikes.com, Cyber Monday, November 27th. Save big.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. This is Sue Getzinger. Just enjoyed your latest podcast on RVs, dirty little industry's dirty little secret of lack of campgrounds. I do agree that that can be a problem, but I actually think a bigger problem that I thought when I saw the title of the podcast that might be disclosed is the lack of available service techs. You know, but Road Trek has a great warranty, as do some of the other manufacturers. However, the issue is trying to get into an RV dealer that can service your vehicle, especially if you didn't buy it from them. You could be looking at 6 weeks out. We've had this issue on the road. And I was wondering if you had heard other complaints about this, and especially when you're in Louisville, you know, what is the RV industry going to do about this? I find this is a big problem with RVing. Thanks. All you do. Bye.
We're going to have to ask that question in Louisville. We're going to find some people. Well, let's talk to them. We'll see what they say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what we say. It is a big problem, Sue. And we hear about it, frankly, all the time. We see people talk about it. Now, before we criticize unduly a dealer who has a long wait, I just ask you, put yourself in their position just a little bit, because it is in many parts of the country a seasonal business. They don't have a lot of service work in the winter, so they can't have a huge staff. But in the summer, they have a huge demand, and it's really hard to get part-time workers. You know, people want a full-time job, particularly highly skilled people like RV repair folks. So for a dealer, it's hard to judge hiring somebody and then having them, you know, work with the slow time in the winter, and it gets very difficult.
And the dealer has his regular customers who have made appointments, and then you have the emergency people that you have to work in.
So I say that to say I do understand the dealer's point of view. However, It is a major problem, and it's one that every RVer needs to know about. So what do you do when you break down far from home, far from your regular dealer, and you call, and this often happens, you know, maybe it's not even a major thing, but they'll tell you, you know, come in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and you're supposed to be home in a week. You know, you're just trying to get back home. The problem is the dealers just can't handle it. And I think that's one of the questions that you always should ask your dealer when you buy is, if I need to get to you before I go on a trip, am I going to get a priority booking with you, and find out how they feel about that? But when you're on the road, you don't have a lot of options. So what we have done, and done very satisfactorily a couple of times, is use mobile RV service techs. This is the best kept secret in the RV. Remember, there's a worse secret, or a bad secret for a bad thing, which we talked about last week, which is a lack of campgrounds. But there is a great resource out there. In every place that we have been, we have found mobile RV service techs who are very responsive. They've seen it all. I mean, most breakdowns are the same thing, you know, a lot of air conditioner stuff in the summer, and maybe some heating issues in the cold time, and, you know, window cranks that break, and city water things that break off, you know, little things that just happen as part of maintenance. But these guys can fix it. They're really good. And wherever you are, we urge you to first try and go to a mobile service tech.
And remember to take the belts and fuses that you might have trouble finding for your vehicle.
I carry it.
Have backup.
Yeah, like in ours and many others, you need that serpentine belt, which wears out. And, you know, we run these RVs pretty hard going up and down mountains sometimes. And, you know, those belts carry a lot of, they turn a lot of torque. So carry those things with you. And we have two that I carry with me that are for my model. So find the things that, ask your service guy next time, hey, what should I carry for spare parts, and do that. But you raised a great question, Sue. And our best advice is find a mobile service tech, because they are very good. All right, one more question.
Hello, this is Sandra from Ontario. In a couple or 3 years, my husband and I will be on the road, and we're hoping to spend a year or so boondocking around Canada and the United States. Since I'm in Canada, I would like to know if there are any resources about really great boondocking places across Canada. I know that there's some great resources for the United States, but I haven't found too much about Canada. Any help you can give me would be great. Thanks.
Well,
love your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Boy, what a great voice she has.
Yes.
I thought it was a recorded announcement, you know, telling me they can forgive my student loans or whatever they're doing. But she has a really good voice. Good voice. Good pipes, as they say, Sandra, in the business. Well, there are a lot of resources, and there's a lot of resources for places to boondock in Canada. Let's see. Well, let's start with boondockerswelcome.com, all one word. And you don't, if you're driving, don't worry about getting these. I'll put these links in the show notes, roadtrekking.com/167. But Boondockers Welcome is an organization in which people allow you to often stay for, usually for free, almost always for free, in their backyard or on their farm or somewhere that's it's convenient in a city. They've got thousands of them around the North America. I know they have at least 300 spots, according to their website, listed for Canada. So you can check out Boondockers Welcome. Now, you picked a good week to ask that question, because the guest that we're going to have in just a minute after this segment is the guy who's behind a website known as ultimatecampgrounds.com, ultimatecampgrounds.com. And they list 4,000 spots to camp in Canada, and many of them perfect for boondocking. The guy even has an app that's devoted just to Canada and their public campgrounds. So check that out, and you'll hear him in a minute. So be sure and listen to the interview. We also like and are a member ourselves of an organization called HarvestHosts.com, HarvestHosts.com. They have more than 570 farms and wineries where you can camp for free in the U.S. and Canada. That's a pretty good deal. And then I don't know if this is true in other provinces, but in Ontario, There's mostly, if not always, free camping on Crown land and conservation reserves. That's free for Canadian citizens, and they can stay for up to 21 days. I found a website that listed all the requirements for that, and I'll put a link to that to the show notes too. But so there's lots of resources out there. I'm sure she's not going to have any problem finding a spot to stay, and it's good that she's thinking about this early.
The anticipation.
Yep, that's it. All right, we got one email question that we want to hit this week because it's kind of timely and it may involve many others who are trying to do this as well. This comes from a guy named Dave, Dave Baker, and he says, first of all, let me tell you how much I enjoy your road trekking newsletter. Dave reads that newsletter that we send out free every Monday. I've learned a lot of tips from the two of you. Thank you for sharing your experiences. My wife Eileen and I are proud owners of a new Road Trek Agile. We took delivery of her in early October, and although I have driven her around town on two overnight outings, our first real road trip will be mid-January when we'll take off to Florida for several weeks or more. We live in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota, and I anticipate it'll take us 3 days to drive out of the freezing belt when we leave on our trip in January. We tend to only want to drive for about 6 hours a day. It's good, always a good practice, Dave. When I purchased the Agile, I had the dealer install heat pads on the bottom of the portable water tank, the gray water tank, and the black water tank. I can turn those on until we get out of the cold weather to keep the contents of the tanks from freezing. However, the water lines themselves are not insulated. Is there a way to insulate them? Do I need to worry about the pipes freezing during the day as we drive down the road and at night? The unit is currently winterized. Would I be wise to wait until we're out of the freeze belt before I de-winterize it and fill up the water tanks? And likewise, do I want to winterize it again when I re-enter the freeze belt? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You don't have to worry. If it's winterized, that means they've run antifreeze, RV antifreeze, all through the system. So you're in good shape there. You don't have to worry about that, and the pipes aren't going to freeze. But do not take the antifreeze, de-winterize it until you get down where the temperature is not going to dip below freezing for any longer than just a few minutes, if at all. So that'll get you, your 3 days of driving will get you well beyond that. And then it's a question, you know, do you de-winterize when you're down there for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever you're going to stay?
I would.
Yeah, we've done that. You had me do
it. I would. You do all the work.
It takes all of about a half hour. It's not hard at all. It's one of the few things I can actually do.
And there's not that much antifreeze involved.
No.
You want to use your water.
Yeah, yeah. I would, yeah, I think if anything over a week or two, if I was down south in warm weather, I would certainly de-winterize, and that means, you know, flushing out the antifreeze, and putting some fresh water in, and then similarly, just put the, you know, when you head north, before you head north, winterize again. I winterized ours. I just did a big YouTube video on it, and you can find a link to that on the Road Trekking blog at roadtrekking.com. I think it's headlined, "Are you ready? Is your RV ready for winter?" or something like that. But look at that. I mean, I talk about it for 20 minutes, every step you can possibly take in winterizing. But it's very, very easy to do, Dave. I think it took me like 10 minutes and I was shooting a video at the time. And I put all these, there's many different ways to winterize. I just showed you the one I'm doing now, which is the simplest. And simplest is usually the best. So our advice is yes. Don't de-winterize till you get where it's warm, and then before you head back to the cold, winterize again. And that should do
it. And don't let it catch you by surprise.
Yeah.
Make sure you're winterized where you need to be.
Yeah. Didn't we get stuck?
Yes, we did.
We actually froze up.
Yeah, we froze up
once
at the Kentucky Horse Park. Yes.
That was our first year.
Our first year. We learned everything the hard way, it seems.
And our friends at ANS RV Center in Auburn Hills, Michigan, literally had to thaw out the unit but I didn't, fortunately, nothing broke. None of the pipes broke, but we learned that the hard way. So yeah, don't wait until it's cold to winterize and you'll be good. Good questions, aren't they? Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV, bringing you the largest inventory of Class B RVs with locations in St. Louis, Missouri, Las Vegas, Nevada, Kalispell, Montana, and now their latest location, beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, RVing is kind of the American dream now. Living off and full life, filled with rich, exciting experiences on the land, driving the roads. And that American dream is what Van City RV is all about. Since 1970, Van City RV has been delivering that dream to families across the nation. Now, Jennifer and I have visited Van City RV. We've met the staff. We've heard from many of our listeners over the years who've described their experience with Van City RV. They've used phrases like, "We were treated with royalty at Van City RV. Awesome service. Honest. Forthright. Helpful. Honest." Those are the things we've heard. All four Van City RVs have a buy and fly program. And when you fly in to purchase your new RV from Van City, you'll get five-star treatment transportation from the airport, $500 towards your airfare, and your new RV fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. After a complete 360-degree orientation, you'll take delivery, set out for two nights of camping, completely set up at the park like a veteran RVer. And if you have any questions, Van City RV will be there to answer them. What a great way to start off your RVing lifetime and your experience with your new RV. In a campground, right near them, set up, with them available to answer any questions. That's first-class service, and it's matched with a selection of all the major top luxury models from Coachman, Dynamax, Leisure Travel Vans, Renegade, Road Trek, Erwin-Heimer, Gulfstream, Midwest Automotive Designs, and even top-quality used motorhomes as well. Here's Dan the Van Man with what's happening this week.
Thanks, Mike. This week we got a special on a couple nice used road trucks. We have a 2016 Road Trek 190 Popular with only 22,000 miles. We also have a 2016 Road Trek SS Agile, 300 watts of solar, 200 amp lithium battery, induction cooktop, and much more. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. Give us a call today and have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, time now for the interview of the week. And I've been promising this all during this episode. And I'm delighted to bring onto the program today a guy by the name of Ted Houghton. And Ted has created a website that we believe just may be the most comprehensive and accurate resource that you will find that lists public campgrounds of all types in Canada and in the U.S. Ted has visited just hundreds and hundreds of these parks. He's been collecting the data on them. He keeps these sites updated, and he has some great hints and tips for all of us about finding what he calls the ultimate campsite. That's the name of his site, by the way, ultimatecampgrounds.com. I'll put a link to him on the show notes, but right now you can meet him yourself. Well, Ted Houghton joins us right now. Ted, thank you so much for making time to be on the podcast today.
Mike, it's a pleasure to spend some time with you and talk about our project a little bit.
Well, let's start off with that project itself a little bit and tell us, how did the ultimatecampgrounds.com site get started? How did that begin?
Well, we've been camping for years, my wife and I. In fact, we even camped on our honeymoon 50 years ago. So we're well familiar with campgrounds and stuff, but we're mainly knowledgeable about national parks, state parks, places like that. And about 10 years ago, we did an 8-month around the country trip. And while we were on that trip, we started noticing lots of little city and county parks, smaller Forest Service locations, lots of little places like that. And we really liked them. We said, man, these are nice. They're a lot more quiet and peaceful. They're a little bit cheaper than the big places. And so when we got home, I decided, well, gee, in case we do another big trip, I'm going to start making a list of some of this just for my own use. And so I did that for a while, worked on that for about a year or so, and then I shared it with a couple of friends. They suggested that I make it available to the public, so I went ahead. Of course, that all I was going to do originally was just, name and location, period, just so I could find them. I didn't have any information in there about, fees and seasons or anything like that. So I started fleshing it all out, and then somebody suggested I should do a website. then the website led to a map, and then the map led to the apps, and I had no clue we would ever get to where it is today.
Isn't that funny? That's the way all good ideas start, is something that somebody builds or makes for themselves, and then find that there's a lot of themselves out there. Now, you specialize in public campgrounds. Let's start. How do you define a public campground?
Well, basically any place in general that is not a private commercial campground. On our website, I have a little list of what we consider. Obviously, places that are owned by some level of government, either owned or operated, you know, Forest Service, National Parks, Corps of Engineers, Bureau of Reclamation, state parks, state wildlife management areas, county parks and places, all sorts of places like that. Some of those may be contracted out, as are many Forest Service locations, for example, TVA, some of those. Then we start to get a little bit iffy, maybe, depending, but I include things like regional water districts. I figure those are owned by some level of government somewhere along the line, either through a cooperative effort between counties or something. And then we even throw in a few non-profit places, such as a museum or a conservation group, may have a little campground beside their facility. We also include utility companies who often, they've built dams for water power. And then along with that, they've added some camping facilities. Another one is the Indian tribes. We see the tribe as a government agency. However, I don't include tribal casino parking lots as such.
Sure, that's pretty. That's pretty blatantly commercial, right? What I really about this is now your thing is it's not the KOAs and not the the commercial sites, but why I think you are right on with this and why I recommend it to my listeners is that we've been writing about this RV boom for the last couple of years now. We've been reporting about it on all platforms. More and more people are getting into RVs. They're buying RVs. They're experiencing camping. And what they're experiencing is most of them are going to commercial campgrounds and finding they can't get in, even on many of our public. Yep. And I get email almost every day from people saying, I got this RV, but I can't find a reservation anywhere, or I can't find an open campground. And what you have done is help us to realize that there are so many places to camp that we maybe never thought of before. So talk about it and the rationale for just doing public campgrounds.
Well, those are the types of places that we prefer. As I mentioned earlier, they're a lot more quiet and peaceful. A lot of them are out in the boonies. We include lots and lots of boondocking locations. Which are, for the most part, free, out on BLM land, Forest Service land out west and so forth. And, we travel on that eight-month trip around the country, we might have stayed at a commercial campground maybe once or twice in 8 months. And we virtually never make reservations. And we hardly ever have a problem getting into a spot. So, and with this list, and there's so many of these places out there, if I can't get into one place, just open my app or something, I find another spot a few miles down the road, and we're good to go.
Talk about the apps. How do they work? We'll put links on our show notes for this episode so people can get there and find them. But how do these apps work, and why should people have them on their smart device?
Well, the best advantage of the apps is that it gives you a lot more flexibility in how to use the data. We have our website map, which shows all the same data and so forth, but you really can't do much with it other than scroll around on the map and click on a location, a little pop-up comes up and tells you what's there. But on the website, you can't filter anything. With our apps, you can use filters to come up with just those types of campgrounds that appeal to you. For example, if you are just an RVer, you can set the filters that won't show you the tent places, the backcountry places, and so forth. If you're looking for just free campsites, you can set a filter for that. If you're looking for just boondocking spots, you can set a filter for that. So that's the biggest key to it, I think, is that you can kind of tailor it to what you want to find. There are some other things along with, I'm sorry.
I'm just really interested. Talk about the cost of the apps, by the way, so people know what we're talking about. We'll, again, we'll put links so they can click and go right to it. But the cost of the apps and how helpful they can be.
Yes, we have them for all sorts of devices, Android, Apple, Mac computers. The basic U.S. apps are $4 for both the iOS version and the Android version, and $6 for Mac computers. The Canada app is $2 for either one. And we also, if people just want to get a kind of a sampling of how our apps work to some degree, we offer a free military-only campsite app. So that you can download that for free, and it'll give you an idea of how the app works and so forth without having to pay for it.
All right. So, and I've looked at these apps. I just loaded them up on mine, and I'm going to use them on the next road trip. But what I think are – talk about how to use them. And you know, you're driving down the road. I get – email from people saying, I don't want to have to make reservations because I'm always changing my mind. But, you know, it'll come about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I know I'm going to be somewhere and I need to find a place. So how would your apps help in that case? The people who, like me, like to travel serendipity style. We just take our time going down the road and tend to meander a bit. But about 2 o'clock, we start looking for a place to stay. And usually they're all filled.
No, we're really bad. We're figuring we're kind of hurting if we don't have a place by lunchtime.
Yeah.
But the apps are really good for that, because if you have it on your mobile device, you know, you just open the app, and of course it's going to show you where you are, a little marker on the map where you are, and then also on the map it's going to show you all the campgrounds or anywhere nearby.
So you can go from one to the other, and you don't have to worry about, you know, there's always another one close by, I guess. The question that comes to mind is, how extensive is this? I mean, do you miss a bunch, do you think? How comprehensive is your list, and what do you do about updating them as campgrounds open and close?
Well, I'd like to think that we have probably the most comprehensive database of anybody out there doing this type of thing. We have over 31,000 records, which is just, as we noted, your public camping locations. You look at some of the other apps, and they boast, you know, maybe 20, 25,000 locations, but that's both public and private.
What are your favorites? What kind of campgrounds are your favorite as you search around for a place to stay?
Oh, my goodness. I hate to give them away.
Yeah, I know. It's like giving away your fishing hole, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Oh, all around the country. For example, we were up in Maine a couple of years ago, and there's a place way down east called Reversing Falls near Pembroke, Maine. It's just a little dirt road goes down, and a place to park right by the ocean. And it's a neat place where the tide comes and goes through these narrow channels. And it's quite free. There's nothing there. There were no amenities of any sort. Just a beautiful place to park for a couple of days.
What kind of a vehicle do you camp in? What do you have? What's your RV, Ted?
We have a Lazy Days Class C RV, a 26-footer.
So you can get in most places then with that Class C.
Yeah. That's why we decided to stay on the small side. We had, you know, that was plenty big enough for us, and we found we couldn't go just about any place. Another spot, we were out in Utah one year, and we found up near Flaming Gorge an old abandoned quarry. And we were just able to back the RV into the quarry, and we spent the night there. It was quiet, deer all over the place, you know, just a beautiful spot.
Is there a favorite campground type, you know, like a Forest Service campgrounds or Bureau of Land Management campgrounds, Tennessee Dam Authority campgrounds, or Department, or you know, at the Corps of Engineer campground. Is there a certain type that you like best?
I would say of the former campgrounds, the Corps of Engineer parks are probably the nicest ones of all out there.
How much do you think that's due to the fact that very few people know about them? They don't get all the ink. They're very nice sites on water. All of them on water, right?
Yeah, they're just about always on water. They're pretty much always paved. We've been to, I found maybe one Corps of Engineer project I was kind of disappointed in out of the many, many that we've been to, you know. So overall, I'd rate them high. Forest Service campgrounds are nice. The TVA campgrounds are nice, although they've kind of sold off or leased out a lot of theirs to private commercial use.
Well, the campgrounds are public campgrounds. Our guest has been Ted Houghton. I will put links on the show notes for this episode that you can find. And it's the name of his website is ultimatecampgrounds.com. He has lots of resources there. You can get a quick look at how it works by just going there and clicking on a map. But Ted, I'm really impressed with your site, and I am just delighted to have you on the program. Last question is, what are your camping plans for 2018? And do you plan to continue to update this as you travel?
Well, we're not sure about the travel plans, but I'm always working on the data for this thing. My wife, you know, gives me a hard time as I probably every day spend some number of hours, you know, reviewing data. Like right now, this week, this month, my effort has been on Texas, just going through my entire database of Texas campgrounds, you know, updating for, make sure the links are right to the websites, make sure the fee information is up to date. It's quite time consuming, but I plan to keep going as long as I can.
Well, that is great. And I like the fact that you don't have your travel schedule locked in. I just put up our the gatherings that we're going to have over the next year, but I hate to lock into them. I never really make my plans much until the day I leave. So I guess I'm not
that's
alone.
That's the way
now.
We are.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, when we did our cross around the country trip there a few years ago, it was... we'd wake up and say, no, let's not go that way. Let's go over here instead, you know.
That's the way to travel. I tell you, that's our favorite way. Ted, you've been a delightful guest. You've got an incredible resource for our listeners that we can highly recommend, and we'll send them to ultimatecampgrounds.com. Ted Houghton, thank you so much for being with us.
Mike, thank you very much. Enjoyed our chat.
And again, you can find Ted's website, ultimatecampgrounds.com, and you can check out the apps that he offers and all those other parts of the whole empire he's built on helping you find and developing the biggest comprehensive directory of public campgrounds that you'll find, I think, anywhere. ultimatecampgrounds.com. And we thank Ted for making time to talk to us this week. Hey, the interview of the week, brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Now, Sunshine State RVs, you can tell from their name, right? Sunshine State, they're in Florida, in Gainesville, Florida. Sunny Gainesville, Florida, as a matter of fact. And Sunshine State RVs has a huge selection of used Class B RVs. I don't think there's anybody that has more used inventory of Class B onlys than the folks at Sunshine State RVs. If you're looking for any kind of a Class B RV, you need to either go down there and look them over on their lot themselves or check out SunshineStateRVs.com, their website. They have new and used Road Treks, and they have used Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and many other brands. Honest, you, we've been there. We have seen. You will not find a wider selection anywhere else. Every RV they sell has been through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV that they sell is road tested before they turn it over to the buyer. They make sure that it runs and it drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside. Every component, as a matter of fact, is turned on and it's tested to make sure that it works. All of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned, thoroughly detailed, inside out. They even check the roof for cracks, and they replace any silicone caulking that's needed. Now, they also, besides all of that used inventory, they're also a new dealer for Road Trek, and they have brand new Road Treks available right now. You check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Travel traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, let's check in with our friend Steve Van Dinter. Hey, Steve, tell us what travel and tech stuff we need to know this week.
Hi there, Mike. Well, this year I want you and your listeners to own the holiday season. And with a little planning, along with the following apps, you'll be well on your way to doing just that. Well, first up is gift giving. It can be a pain to think up gift ideas or to remember what you got your special someone, especially if you've been buying over the course of the year. And that's why I love the Gift Planner app for iOS and Christmas Gift List app for Android. Both of these free apps let you set a budget and stick to it. As you buy gifts, you just note who they're for and the price in the app, and you'll see how much is left to spend. It's really as easy as that. Well, next up, my favorite part, saving money. I've got a couple of great websites that also have free Android and iOS apps. On the top of that list is DealNews.com. Well, this site is great for gift ideation, as you can see what's currently on sale in all sorts of categories, from electronics to health and beauty. It's a great way to get some gift ideas, especially for the person that has everything. Be careful, though, as the deals are so tempting, you just might walk away with something for yourself as well. And when you know what you want or where you plan to shop, I've got one more site for you to check out. It's RetailMeNot.com. Well, let's say you want to pick something up at the Gap, for instance. Just go to the site and type in Gap, and you might be surprised to find coupon codes that will save you 10% or more on your purchase. Now, it's not going to have something for you every time, but it's definitely worth checking out before you press the buy button. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And I'll put links. There's links to all of those apps that Steve just mentioned on the show notes for this episode, which you can find at roadtrekking.com/167. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about tech today. In fact, I just got while Steve was talking, I got a note from UPS that my new iPhone 10 was delivered. So as soon as I get out of the studio, I'm going to go up and check out that. Yes, I did get the iPhone 10. I've had every iPhone now since they started 10 years ago. In fact, I bought the first iPhone sold at retail when it went on sale 10 years ago. They went on sale at 6 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock and I think 2 seconds, my sales was complete. I did it actually on live television. I was doing wearing my tech reporter hat at that time and did it on live TV. And I've had it on, I like the iPhone. I've used all the Samsungs. I really like Samsung and the Android platform as well. But I'm so personally invested in the Apple ecosystem with, an iMac and a MacBook Pro, and my wife has a MacBook Pro. We've got two tablets, and we all have iPhones. We use all those apps and the calendars, and so we just everything is all synced up. But I did order the iPhone 10, and I'm looking forward to it. It's got a great camera. I'm finding I'm taking more and more photos that I'm putting on the blog and in my videos with the smartphone, with the iPhone. So I'll let you know how it goes. I have, many of you know this, that I also am a technology reporter for NBC stations around the country. I do, it's called the PC Mike segment. I know, I'm a Mac guy and they call me PC Mike. We started that. It's been going as a syndicated feature to all 253 NBC stations. I've been doing that since 1994. And my PCMike.com website lists. I basically do what Steve just did here is I do a segment every week on cool apps and stuff like that. At one point I did a podcast, a tech podcast, as well as this. This one just took off. And so I let the PC Mike podcast kind of go by the wayside. And I'm actually thinking about reviving it. Jennifer's out of the studio now, so I can say that. I enjoy talking about technology. Let me know. Should I revive it and do a... maybe I won't do it quite as ambitious as this, but I will do one. And it's fun. You check it out, PCMike.com, and you can listen to some of the old podcasts. Tell me if I need to do another one. And but this is the one that I concentrate on, our road trekking RV podcast. This is the big one. All right, Verizon has been the sponsor of our technology, traveling technology segment. And Verizon operates America's most reliable wireless network. That new iPhone 10 I have will be on the Verizon wireless system. It is the Verizon is the official wireless provider for all of our on the road reports as we send in our videos, our podcasts, our blog reports, our photos. We do it all through the Verizon system as we travel about the country in our road trek at CS Adventurous XL. Verizon is the leading provider around anywhere, according to all the big network studies, multiple tests year after year. They always rank ahead of everybody else. Your network may make a lot of great claims, but they can't say that. And if you're stuck on the wrong network, well, then head over to Verizon and you can get yourself unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, I have the Christmas spirit, and I am just, you know, you'd think that you'd get kind of tired of it. I actually like listening to Christmas music in October, and on all of our radio stations, and all, you know, I've got Sirius, and I've got all that stuff in my apps. I'm listening to, you know, Mannheim Steamroller, and I'm listening to Christmas music. I like Christmas. It just gets me excited. And I thought since, you know, with Thanksgiving and Black Friday and everybody now looking at the Christmas season, I would make an off-the-beaten-path report about one of our favorite places. It's a place that Jennifer and I have visited every year since we have been married now, going back many decades. And that is Bronner's Christmas Wonderland. And Bronner's is America's Christmas store. And if you've traveled anywhere from, you know, in the Midwest to the East Coast, I think they even have billboards out west. You've seen those billboards advertising Bronner's. They're located in a little tiny town called Frankenmuth, Michigan. Frankenmuth is known as Little Bavaria, and it was founded by German settlers in the early 1800s. And it's a really fun town. There's some great restaurants there, and sausage shops, and many, many gift shops. But it's also home of Bronner's, and Bronner's is the largest Christmas store in America, hands down. And as soon as you walk inside, you will be overwhelmed with the sights and the sounds and the spirit of Christmas. It's almost overwhelming at first because the store is so big. It's the size of 1.5 football fields. They have over 50,000 gift items, trims, and decorations. They first opened 1945. And I warn you, if you go this week or the next week, it's crowded. Especially this time of year, obviously. Over the three-day Black Friday weekend, they say that 50,000 people will have shopped at Bronner's and made their way up to that little town. It's about an hour and a half north of Detroit at the start of the Michigan Thumb. If you look at the mitt of Michigan, that's what it looks like. The Lower Peninsula is like a mitt, and it's just below the thumb. It's where the thumb sort of starts. It makes for a great RV trip. During the summer, there are two fully equipped campgrounds within spitting distance of the store. And alas, they're closed this time of year. There are lots of RV spaces for parking in the Bronner's parking lot. No overnight stays are allowed, but you've got lots of space up there. And you can make a whole day of it in Frankenmuth. You can shop at Bronner's, go eat, come back, shop some more, and then go back and eat some more, especially those chicken dinners that they serve up there in Frankenmuth, Michigan. It's well worth it if you can make a trip out there. Open every day of the year except Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Day, and Easter Sunday. A few years ago, Jennifer and I drove up to Bronner's, and we had our RV decorated. I think we had an E-Trek at that time, a Road Trek E-Trek, and we had our previous dog, Ty, with us, and they were just great. We walked in, and we said, you know what, if I want to decorate my RV, I noticed in our Facebook group, some people are doing that right now, and they said, well, let us give it a try, and so they put their heads together, and the whole staff, they just kind of marched out to the RV. I got the camera out. We did a whole thing. They just did up the inside of the RV. And when we came in, even Ty was decorated. So if you want to have a fun story, look at the show notes, roadtrekking.com/167, and go down, scroll down to the Off the Beaten Path report, and I'll put a link to that video we did up at Browner's. But if you're anywhere within driving distance now or anytime else in your travels, put Frankenmuth, Michigan on the map. You want to stop there. In the summer, you want to spend an overnight there, but even now, it's worth driving up there if you got another place where you can stay, because it's great, and it will get you in this Christmas spirit no matter what time of the year you visit. Hey, the Off the Beaten Path part of the podcast, sponsored every week by our good friends at Steinbring Motor Coach in Minnesota. Steinbring is Road Trek's newest dealer, and they are a third-generation family business located in the beautiful Chain of Lakes region in Minnesota, west there of the Twin Cities. It's built on quality motorhomes, the best motorhomes you can buy, and excellent pricing and service. Now, for years, Steinbring carried and specialized strictly in Newmar Class A motorhomes. They looked around. They said they just felt that Newmar was such a great reputation. They wanted to rep them, and so they did. And a year and a half or so ago, they realized how popular Class Bs were, and so they looked at all the different models, and they said, the one that we want to sell is Road Trek. And so they became a dealer for Road Trek Class Bs. They have new Road Treks. They've got new Mars, new Class As, new Road Trek Class Bs. And then they have a lot of pre-owned coaches from very popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, and Monaco, along with a wide selection of consignments as well. If you're looking for any kind of an RV, a Class A, Class B, Class C, diesel pusher, gas, toy hauler, you want to find it, your next RV, you can find it, Steinbring's Motor Coach. We visited these guys over the summer and got a chance to look at their models and their showroom and visit with the staff, and we came away very, very impressed, Jennifer and I did. So, yeah, I'm sure you will too. Steinbring Motor Coats. Check them out. You will be glad you did.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that wherever you are, you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Invite you to listen to our podcast archives. If you've just found us, you can go back at roadtrekking.com and you can find our podcast link there and listen all the way back, 167 episodes. We've covered it all, and we've got great plans, Lord willing, to keep doing it in the future as well. Don't forget our YouTube travel channel, RV Travel Channel. It's so simple to get to. Just go to RVLifestyleChannel.com, RVLifestyleChannel.com. We put up about 2 new videos every week, and some of them we also link on the Road Trekking blog, but not all of them. So if you want to see our videos, you need to subscribe to that channel on YouTube. It's the RV Lifestyle Channel on YouTube. We invite you to do that. Don't forget our newsletter. We send it out free every Monday. You can sign up for that from the website as well. And I am on social media. Jennifer and I check out our Facebook group and our Facebook page numerous times during the day. So you can always find us wherever we are with our road trekking community on social media. This has been the RV Podcast, and we thank you so much for listening to us. We'll catch you next Wednesday. Till then, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. See you later, and may I be one of the first to recommend and wish you a Merry Christmas. See you next week.